Morning, everybody. Brother, Brother Creed is not here this morning, so I asked Chris and I to teach this morning. And Brother Creed kind of basically, like he said, drunk monkey wrench on us. Thursday or Friday, I got a message to teach Sunday school, and Chris going to be preaching this morning. Wait for everybody to get started. We'll talk to taking some prayer requests before we get started. Anybody got any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Anybody else? Wait for everybody to get it. Here comes Mona. Wait for her if she has any prayer requests. Hey, Brother Glee, can you pray for us so we get started, please?
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for another day and for waking us up this morning and for your word and how it never changes, but this world just seems to keep changing. Of course, we thank you for the gift of salvation. And we take it for granted. Even my brother Walter, now as he leaves, pray everything that's done here today will glorify you. Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, parents' duty to their children. Let's start out with looking at Psalms chapter 127, verse 3. And it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Right here, basically the first thing that comes to my mind when he says, when he put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Okay, and when we multiply, basically that's reward and a heritage to the Lord. Okay, but when it's the most important thing, right, it says, we talk about parents due to the children, is that we are to raise our children up for the Lord.
Amen.
Christians that go to, if you're saved, you go to a good church, our primary duty, we're supposed to live right, worship the Lord, attend church, and take our children to church. Okay, and a matter of fact, if your children are adults in the home, you lead the home, it's your home, and your home is supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, and you're supposed to take your children to church. Okay, I wanted to the thing is, it's our job as parents to teach our children. That's why I'm a big advocate for homeschool. If you can't homeschool, send your children to Christian school. And in today's society, I wouldn't want to send my kids to a public school today. Okay? If you send your kids to your public school, you're going to corrupt your children. You're going to be at war. It's going to be a battle. You're going to have a battle with the devil himself. Because let me tell you something. The school system today is raising the kids to hate God, to hate family. And the secular mindset today is they believe that that child that you brought into the world belongs to the state. Before I go on, when communism takes over a certain country, and if you can speak to, one of the privilege I have is when I'm at work, I run into all kinds of people. I run into people from China, grew up in China, doing great leap forward. People starve. About 2 years ago, had a patient that was my patient, and he was from Cuba. He escaped Cuba, and he was right there with Fidel Castro when Castro took over Cuba. He's one of Castro's cadres. And until he said it took him like about 6 months after Castro took over till he realized what he was up to. And if you can talk to people that grew up in Russia, China, they'll tell you that there's all kinds of stories that when the communists took over, Lenin took over, the kids disappeared. The state is coming and took away their children. Why? Because they educate their children. They hate parents. They hate God. They want to erase everything that you taught them, especially anything that has to do with God.
Amen.
Okay? That's why it's important. Our job as Christians to raise our children. The Bible says it. The Bible is clear about that. As a matter of fact, we'll go on some more before I make a statement. Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Okay, I'm going to have us participate, and if we get ready to call some people to to read a verse. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. If I sound funny because I'm still congested, I was in here last week because I got hit. First time in years. That means I'm getting old. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he shall go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Max asked a question. What does it have to do with raising the kids? So many people raise their kids in church and yet say that they disappear. He's not talking about whether you raise your kids, teach them manners and so forth. Basically, what you're teaching them is teaching them that you point your child towards the Lord. Okay, but Bible says that Lord, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So the Lord, you're talking about winning that child's heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? And so when that child is riveted in the word of God, the child might jump out of church, backslid out, they're acting a fool. But you know what? That child would not be converted to another religion if that child was pointed directly to the Lord.
Amen.
That Lord will have a foundation and know where he stands.
Right.
Or
Amen.
She stands. Okay? He can go out there, act a fool. But I'm going to tell you one thing, though. The frightening thing is, if you see that child is living in blatant sin, and you don't see chastisement, might be those belong to the Lord. Because some of these kids can fake it. Kids are smart. Okay, and somebody can fake it to get along with it. But there should be a concern if you see that child living for the devil, and you do so chastening. Okay, that's when I was already. People come to me and say, Brother Motley, I said, I raised my kids up in church, but I don't see where they've been chastised. I'm worried that they might not be saved. And then again, might be they're merciful. The Lord's been merciful and long-suffering. And guess what? If you want your child to come back to the Lord, don't pray, God, please don't chastise my child. Hey, I want my kid to be chastised if they're living for the devil. Okay? That way I know that he belongs to the Lord. And guess what? It's like mommy's telling daddy, don't spank him, don't spank him. They don't wonder why he turned into like a rotten child when he grows up. All right? Mommy should include, it will encourage daddy to whip that kid's butt so he turn out right.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, so train up a child in the way he should go when he's whole, he will not depart from it. Okay? Good. And Brother Creed gave us a bunch of stuff to write down. Okay. Share the Bible verse you have us going to. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This basic, Proverbs got a lot of instruction about how to raise a child, okay? And he also do Deuteronomy chapter 7, okay? When he sit it down, when he rise up, that means that he spend time with that child, okay, to teach that child. Matter of fact, when you have kids, little kids coming up, let me tell you something. One of the biggest mistakes we make as parents, some of us make as parents, is thinking that the Sunday school teacher is supposed to be teaching the child the Bible. Daddy should be teaching the family the Bible. And I do believe that every time a child comes into the church house, when the pastor preaches, when the Sunday school teacher teaches, it should be second message. That child should be able to say, I heard that at home already. At home, that at home already. It shouldn't be surprise, surprise. When he comes in and comes home and he said, Dad, is that true? The lessons that the child should be getting biblically should be coming from daddy. And sometimes mommy. Mommy should be the enforcer, basically. What did daddy say? Don't do that. Okay, good. When daddy comes home, daddy will talk to you. Okay? It's a team effort. Because if you don't, the secular world out there is waiting for your child to remove everything that child learned at home. In California, the left coast, they're gone crazy, okay? For homeschoolers over there, they're struggling. They want to be able to come into the home and monitor what the child is being taught. Matter of fact, they try to make it where he cannot apostolize your own child. It's on the table in some of these states, especially California. Hey, we're living in some real serious time, folks. Hope you're all paying attention. Okay, I'm glad I raised my kids already, but you see, my grandkids are going to be another issue because they want to make it where they know what you're teaching your child. They want to make it illegal. Matter of fact, This administration, what I heard, is that they want to make it where it's illegal to even take a child to Sunday school. I am not making this stuff up. I wish I was. Christians, let's pay attention to what's going on. You know, in the Bible, it says, when the Lord said to them, he said, hey, when you see the sky is red, he said, it's going to rain and there's going to be a storm. But you don't know the signs of the times. A lot of us is not paying attention to the signs of the times. Right. Are you paying attention, my fellow brothers and sisters? Well, I'm not supposed to be preaching, I'm supposed to be teaching. Okay? And it says, foolishness is born in that heart of a child. Let me tell you something. You see those three boys? It's like living with living Darian and Hans all over again. Okay? They're going to be stupid. But boy, that rod of correction. I'm telling you. I watch Archie when Archie is, you know, growing up. And as soon as he starts walking, he starts messing with stuff, and I slap his hand. Right, Monica, you're a school teacher. You slap his head. And you know he's not supposed to touch stuff, right? And what do? They look over there.
6 months old.
And they look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they know what's going on. Oh, he doesn't know. Oh, yes, he does. All right? And then when he sees the same, and he make eye contact, he's put his hand back down, he's walk away. No. Why? He knows he's not supposed to be touching stuff, right? And so when he acts up and he spank him, and matter of fact, at that age, let me tell you something. If a parent is fighting a battle with a 5 or 6 year old kid, they're failing.
Right.
You should be already won that battle. Yes, you're gonna act stupid, but you should already have that child under control. A matter of fact, if there's some liberal parents, they go to churches just like this, and they don't believe you should spank a child. You know what the problem with that person? They're still thinking like the world.
Right.
Their mind was not renewed.
Right.
Okay? And if you do not believe in spanking, and you refuse to spank your child when the child is deliberately rude, you're in complete disobedience to the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord will deal with you for that. And you know what's going to happen? That child is going to grow up, and you wonder how come you have a 15, 16-year-old monster, Frankenstein monster in your house. Because you did not do what the Lord tell you to do. I've seen it. Let's move on. Okay. Much of the humanistic philosophy say it's wrong to spank children. But the Bible says it's necessary and right. Okay? That humanistic philosophy is the humanist thinking that what humanists believe. I never understand what secular humanism believes. Means, but as I grow older and as I start looking into that issue of secular humanism is all about saying that, remember Genesis chapter, when the devil attempt Eve to be like gods, that's a statement in reference to today's secular humanism. You know right from wrong, and you do what you think is right. And if you look into the scriptures, when it said the people of Israel did what is right in your own eyes. Matter of fact, I think we're there today, sad to say, doing things what is right in our own eyes. And that is wrong. Today, the sodomite behavior and their attitude is basically doing what is right in their own eyes. And if you disagree scripturally, you're an outcast. Okay? Secular humanism is evil. It's all about saying that there are gods and you're like God. And they control everything. Like this, the presumptuous belief that, well, we're going to stop global warming. You're going to stop the weather. That's presumptuous. Okay? Everything they think that they hit control of. That's the other day Biden claimed that we're going to stop cancer. Says who? I mean, are you going to work a miracle? You're God? That's what they think. Okay? That's secular humanism. And they think that you shouldn't spank your child and this foolishness, if you see a child misbehaving and daddy go, pop, stop, ooh, call the police.
Right.
You know, they call the cops and arrest the parents. And then what you're doing, they're sending a wrong message to that child. And look at the streets now.
Yeah, right.
And then they start blaming parents. But hold up. You said parents can't spank the kid.
Right.
You know, you know, they created that problem. But I'm telling you, right, brothers and sisters, fear God, not the government.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Fear God is better. What Peter said is better to obey God rather than man.
Yeah.
Obey the scriptures, discipline your child. And one of the biggest mistakes parents make, And I'm guilty of that sometimes when they were growing up. You got to spend time with your kids. Okay? You got to spend time with them. Kids needs parents' attention. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. A kid cannot, especially boys, cannot be sitting there all by themselves, getting into mischief. And the only time you know them is when they get in trouble. You're setting yourselves up for another kind of problem.
Amen.
Sorry about that. I'm getting like all congested here. Okay. One of the things that we should watch with our kids also too is the constant staring at the TV. You got to monitor what's on television. Okay? When the boys start noticing things on television, as soon as the beer commercial comes on, I say, beer is bad.
Amen.
Turn it off. The liquor commercial, liquor is bad. Switch your channel. When the wrong kinds of music, I don't want you to get used to the wrong kind of music. So when the wrong kind of rock and roll, the crazy kind of music comes on, switch the channel. Why? I'm guarding their minds.
Yeah.
You see, people might look at that and say, oh, Walter, you can't shelter them. Oh, yes, you can. You better shelter them, because if you don't shelter them, they're going to go to school and be exposed to things that, especially, we shouldn't be sending them to the secular school, but I'm telling you, they go out there on their own, they're going to be exposed to things that are going to blow their mind. Look what goes on in the schools today. I mean, I'm not going to describe some of the things that was going on, but I'm telling you, especially over there in Prince William County, some of these counties, the crazy stuff they're exposing the kids to. You got to shield your mind. And someone will say, oh, you're brainwashing your kids. Yeah, let's brainwash our kids with the filth of the world.
Amen?
Amen. Yeah, what he says right here, the rod is applied to the right place. That's right, the posterior. Never strike your child across the face, chest, back, or legs. Hey, I wish my grandma's around to read this. What? And my grandma purposely put in a bunch of these brass rings. I don't know where she get them from. Yeah.
Mr. T.
Yeah, you're exactly what you look like. What? Hey, and I don't believe that parents, kids, you teach your kids, when you know they approach Mr. Glade, they said, Mr. Glade, not Glade. I do believe that kids should respect the title.
Amen.
I do believe that kids should respect. I'm very much old-fashioned. I taught my boys, when they approach older persons, but at my age, you go up to them and they say, Mr. or Sir. Not call him, our brother Glade, what's your first name?
Glade.
That's the first name?
Yeah. That's good enough.
Yeah, okay, good. Don't walk past me and say, hey, Glade. No. Okay, a kid, hey, Sam. They'll say, Mr., okay, or Sir. Teach your kids old-fashioned mannerism. I'm telling you right now, if you teach your kids old-fashioned mannerism, you go out there to people like, is he from the planet Mars? Where is he from? Is that a real kid? Yeah. I mean, we should return to the old-fashioned mannerism. Okay, when people walk up to me, a kid, 9 years ago, hey, Brother Walter. I look at him like, excuse me? No, Mr., okay? And we should teach our kids that. Okay, the rod is applied in love. Okay, let's Proverbs chapter 13, verses 24. Sorry if I'm talking fast and kind of hyped up.
Amen.
Is anyone keeping time and the time for me, please? Proverbs 13, 24. What it says, much food is intelligible. It is intelligible of the poor, but there is that is in store for want of judgment. Am I on the right one? Proverbs 13. Okay, good. My fault. He that spared the rod hated his son, but he that loveth him chastened him betimes. Okay? The term betimes. It is early, in good time, quickly. That means you see a child do something wrong, take care of that right away.
Mm-hmm.
He that spared his rod hated his son. And that's what I tell a lot of my fellow Christian. Hey, I said, you need to take care of that. Sometimes I don't want to tell someone how to correct your child. But, if that person is a good friend of mine, and you ask me a question about raising the kids, I'm not expert on raising kids. Let me tell you something. What I did is get on my knees before the Lord for my kids. Okay, pray for them, fast for them. At the same time, apply scriptures. Do what the Lord tells you to do. A person, once again, he that spared his rod hated his son. Let me tell you something. When God chastens you because you did something wrong, it's because he loves you.
Amen.
Okay? And guess what? I don't love chastise, but sometimes when I say something, and then in my devotion, I see something. That's the other day, Darren, and I was talking about something. And I said, Darren, guess what? I opened the word of God, and God showed me that I was wrong. And you know what? I love that. God is saying, hey, Walt, correct that. He showed it to me in the Bible.
Wow.
Okay? That's how the Lord does it for us, okay? If you did something that you're not listening to what God is saying, and the Lord tap you on the shoulder, you get like a fender bender, or you pop your toe or something, and you know, you'll know when the Lord is talking to you. Like the brother Creed is talking about the other day in teaching about knowing God is talking to you. Okay? So that's a part of a little bit of chastening. And you say, Lord, I needed that. Why? Because the Lord loves you. If you withhold correction from your sons or your daughter, and you know that they're supposed to be corrected, you hate them.
Right.
Because you know what? That is going to get worse, then worse. And the next thing you know, the Lord has to step in and do something. Matter of fact, let's go back to Samuel. When Eli knows that his sons were not doing right. The Bible said Eli know what they were doing. And Eli restrained them not. Guess what? Later on, the Lord went to Samuel. And said, Samuel, I speak, Lord, for that servant here. Hey, Samuel, I'm going to do something. What's that? I'm going to move Eli. Why? Eli knows what his sons were doing. Next thing you know, Eli kicked the bucket. Okay, I do believe if we don't correct our children, and we're not supposed to correct our children, and we know better, and God knows that you know better, God will deal with daddy, and then later on deal with the son. Okay, that's a dangerous path to go on. Hey, folks, let's pay attention to the word of God. Let's pay attention to the word of God. Okay, so once again, if someone doesn't want to correct their child, once again, let's get rid of that humanistic beliefs, the worldly belief. Okay, let's remind, you know, it's Romans chapter 12, renewing your mind.
Amen.
The way to stop thinking like the world and correct your child. Because if you don't, you are in complete disobedience to the Lord. You already said, the rod is applied effectively. Proverbs 19, children will cry when they receive a proper spanking. Sometimes they will also do the best to make you feel like an ogre or whatever he calls it. Don't spare it. And that's the thing, you know, my wife feels guilty every time she spanks the kids. Even she spanks the grandkids, she feels guilty. Oh, I should have spanked him. Well, your grandma, if he's doing something stupid, you got to take care of it. If you talk 100 times, you know. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Even in your sleep. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Because all day long you say, stop. No, I'm going to speak one time. And one time, that's it. Okay? Yeah, you got to beat that butt. Okay, that's what God put in that nice and soft. Okay, Proverbs 19. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Hey, let me tell you something. They're going to cry. Okay? And they're supposed to cry. That means they're in pain. Hey, let me tell you something. Do you ever wonder why you see a people get frowned, and people don't think there's a problem when you go into the grocery store. And I've seen this. I could never comprehend this nonsense. So I have to walk away. A child, when mommy say no, the child say yes. And then he rip everything off the shelf and everything starts falling down. Yeah. And then mommy goes with her veins sticking out of her neck. I said stop it. And then the child toss himself down the floor and wheel around doing break dancing. Right? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay? And then some people correct me when say that. Oh, that's just because it's a child. It's a baby. Yeah. Guess what? Look at the rioting on the street. That's where it started.
Right.
Someone once said rebellion start in the crib. Okay? Rebellion started in the crib. Why? He whine and cry at 6 months because he doesn't want to be in the crib. Right? The mommy goes over there, oh, and pick him up, put him down. Matter of fact, Lachlan tried that nonsense with me. I picked him up. Then he started smiling, put him down, he started fussing. I said, whatever. Okay? I'm a veteran. I raised two boys. So that doesn't work on me. And you see that out there on the streets. So in the crib, you put him down, and you figure it out. Okay, if I cry, mommy shows up.
Right.
Wah! Here comes mommy. All right, pick him up, put him down, walked away. 5 minutes later, wah! Why? You get mommy trained. Okay? And so if mommy doesn't correct that, make sure the baby is not hungry, the diapers are clean, and so forth, let him stay there, and he falls asleep. We did it with Darian. Okay, we did a Hansel. They find out, oh, no, they cannot be controlled, or we cannot be controlled, so they fall asleep. Now, when you don't pay attention to that, the child grows up, and then he controls the house. And then next thing you know, he's out there turning over cars, burning down things. Matter of fact, he's in school, getting in trouble all the time because this was not applied. Okay? It said, chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. They're worried about him crying. And matter of fact, do not let the government dictate to you whether you should spank your child or not. Matter of fact, it was Dr. Spock that came along, and that experiment failed. Everybody, listen to Dr. Spock. Let me tell you something. Not because someone got beard, a gray beard and all that, and a jacket on himself, a professor, and he got 5 letters behind his name, and like he knows everything. He does not. Okay? I call those people witch doctors. Those are educated witch doctors. They're no different from if you go down the Amazon jungle and you see guys running around the fire and all some stuff, and everybody comes to him to heal them, and they say, I'm being healed. No healing going on. They're no different. So these people right here who wants to get away with God's word, front on God's word, and then come along and tell us what works and what doesn't work. That's why we have shooting in school. They don't want God in schools, right? They said, don't pray in school, no God in school. Okay, and they don't wonder why people run inside the school. No protection. So maybe if they were praying for protection, you wouldn't have the kind of problems in the schools. So they don't want God in the school. And it's, why did God allow this? Well, they don't want God in the schools.
Right.
They don't want God in the schools, so God left. Right? And then the kids are dumb. I'm sorry, Miss Mona. Right? I mean, come on. Somebody can't even read. Look at Baltimore. Okay, Proverbs 19. Where's Proverbs 19? Good. He said here, the rod is applied effectively. Children will cry when they receive a proper spanking. Sometimes they will also do the best to make you feel like an oragoric, or whatever we call it. The rod is applied consistently. Don't spank for wrong the child didn't know about. That is true. Don't spank for last week's wrongs. Do that spank when you said you would. Okay? Sometimes I just wake up one morning and I dream a dream that Darren and Hansel did something wrong, so I just spanked them. I'm just kidding. The rod is applied coherently. A child needs to understand why he or she is received a spanking. Remind of what was said. Okay, there's a time of loving, assurance, and prayer soon after the rod has been applied. Most of the time, I was too mad to even pray. Never apologize for spanking. That's good. Always return to the room to show the child of your love and to pray together afterwards. Hey, let me tell you something when I think about disciplining a child. If they mess up and they know they mess up and you discipline them because they were completely disobedient, that should never be brought up ever again.
Amen.
Okay, that should never be brought up ever again. Guess what? When the Lord forgives you, if he gives you, and he does not remind you of what you did. We shouldn't be reminding our children for what they did.
Amen.
Once they know they are sorry and you're chasing them, it should be forgotten. Okay, and one of the things, and didn't put this here, but one of the things, especially when you deal with boys, okay, boys are prideful. Okay, boys are, that's the persona being boys. You never discipline your teenage boys in front of people.
Amen.
You never, if they say something stupid, doing something stupid, you take them aside and walk away with them from everybody and say, hey, what is that you're doing? You should be doing that. You never correct them, berate them in front of a crowd. Okay? They will develop complete disrespect for you. Okay? That's part of showing them that you love them. Okay? And treating them like young men. That when they grow up to be men. Okay? Because I've seen pastors did this. And I didn't know how to approach him about it because I don't consider me to be a close friend of him. But I remember when he was back on the pulpit. And he tell us what he does to his son. And his son was 18 years old sitting there. Okay? 18 years old. And I'm saying, I don't think you should be doing that. I'm the man of the house. Everybody knows that. I make sure check his cell phone. Well, if you check his cell phone, that's fine. And then that's between you and him. Don't be telling people that. Every week I go to his cell phone. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't have his cell phone with him this week. Because I went outside to talk to Darren about it. I said, Darren, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay, now his son is rebellious and he left the house and he's angry at his parents. Okay, I see too many parents do that, especially. You don't go and brag about what you did to your son and what you're not going to do to your son. That's between you and the Lord.
Amen.
And not whatever goes on in the house should not leave the house and be out in public. Okay? Okay, one thing is talk about establishing a family altar. Okay? We must always have a prayer time at home. Okay? And teach the kids, your sons, the Bible. That's our job as parents. Okay? And I never had, I know some people like having every night a family altar, or every Monday night or every Tuesday night have a family altar. I think for me, what works better for me when I was raising the boys is that we have a get-together moment where that's about every evening. We used to do wrestling in the basement. Okay, that's what Darren and the boys and the hands of the group loving Jude and wrestling. And that time we spent together, I showed them what the Lord showed me from scriptures. When we take some rest time, so they're sitting there, kicking back, laughing and joking. You know, when they want to talk about girls, what girls they like, you know. And those are precious moments. So we sit back and we don't say, okay, be sure what the Lord showed me in the Bible. You know, while we're taking a break. Even on the track. Darren has to tell you that we used to run track. He's on the track. We're out there running around the track, doing our speed drills. And then for a moment, I say, hey, guys, we get out of the Bible today. And then they share with me what they get from the Word of God. Okay, and I share with them what I get from the Word of God. And how you apply that to everyday life. To me, that was our family altar.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, to me, family, at one point I thought family altar was open to the Bible in front of your family and start yelling and screaming at them. That's not it. It's asking what's bothering them and pray about the issues. You know, if I hear something on the news or politics going on, I get mad. Hey, guys, let's pray about this. God, this guy's an idiot.
Amen.
You know, that's how we used to do it. Okay? So it is every different instances of how you should have family altar.
Amen.
He said, always read a portion of the scriptures. The book of Proverbs is excellent for the whole family. That's what I saw the boys out on. I think every teenage boys, adolescents should start going through the book of Proverbs. It's very helpful. It's about everyday life and things going to run into. Okay? Consider having a hymn. We never really sang in the house because we sound crazy.
Amen.
And I don't want next door neighbor to call the police on us. Okay? And that's like you were saying here, don't attempt to make it a church service. It's far better to be brief and consistent than draw out and haphazardly. This is one thing we used to do to have read Christian biographies. One of the things that the boys used to do for their book report is, the ones that really intrigued me, like Isaac Newton,
right.
Mary Slessor, you know, those were some great people the boys read about. And I learned a lot from them. And you know, I especially read about Mary Slessor. Okay? Gladys Elwood. Okay. So be careful what the atmosphere of your home doing family altar. Time is not different to others. That is hypocrisy and will harm your children greatly. Okay. All right. That's going to stop right here. Basically going through the whole thing, I think. And one last thing. If daddy is not interested and enthused about the Bible, the kids are not going to be. It blessed my heart to see Darren show me pictures of those little boys going through his Bible. Why? Because they saw daddy reading his Bible. Okay? When we were running the track, and I'm talking about the Bible, Darren used to get, at 14 years old, he started coming, "Daddy, did you get something from the Word of God?" I said, "Yep, let me show you." Next day, "Daddy, did you get something? Is that? Don't come in, I'm getting anything." I said, "Keep reading." I start asking him. Okay? Hands are the same thing. Next thing you know, they call me yelling and screaming, "Dad, Dad, wow!"
Amen.
The Lord started to reveal himself to my sons, or our sons. Okay? If they don't see you sitting there reading the Bible, they're not going to be interested in it. You know what I find something interesting, Glade? I always said this, and I said, how is it that a young man, I noticed that daddy is such a redskin freak. They just love the Washington Redskin. And you see pictures and albums of him with Redskins uniform, and the kids, all the boys wearing Redskins uniform. Right? And that kid will tell you all the great players of the Redskins. You know why? Because daddy was interested in the Redskins. And the kids are going to be interested in what daddy's interested in. Okay? But don't you think, and I do believe, that if daddy is enthused about the Word of God and talks about it all the time, the kids will get interested? I do believe that. Okay? But you see, the thing is, if the kids don't see any interest, that daddy's interested in it, they're not going to be interested in it. The other day, I tried to take my hobby again to go bow, to practice my bow. And I could not practice my bow in peace. Archer shows up, he wants to shoot it too. Right? So I compromise. I said, "Okay, good. Guess what? I stick them right here, the arrows right here in the ground, and each time I won't need an arrow, he handed it to me." And he was glad just to do that. Why? Because he was interested in what I was interested in.
Amen.
Okay? If daddy is interested in the Word of God, I mean, I'm not saying they're reading once a week. He always, every time the kids walk around the house, somehow a certain time of the day or the evenings, you see daddy in the Bible. That kid will start getting, I said, "What is in this thing that God intrigued my daddy?" And next thing you know, he will love the Word of God just like you see daddy love the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this moment with these people, dear God. They're wonderful people, God. Thank you for this privilege, Lord, to teach. And I pray that it's a blessing to someone in here, Lord. Lord, this show was a blessing to me, dear God. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. And once again, I'm sorry if I sound weird.